You and I back together again, settling in for a Tuesday, October 4th edition of Connecticut Today. We talked about an ongoing controversy connected to a Bridgeport State House primary. We were joined by Bridgeport City Councilman Marcus Brown on that same disputed primary outcome. And Councilman Brown told us what's next. 5th District GOP House candidate George Logan discussed his race against incumbent Democrat Johanna Hayes.
What did Forrest Gump say? It's like a box of chocolates. Didn't he say that life is like a box of chocolates? Wasn't that the proper phrase there from old Forrest? After he started to run Forrest Run? Is like a box of chocolates. Well, that's like Bridgeport politics is. Because you never know what you're going to get. How about that? Hey, good afternoon, 208, 8 past 2, 203-333, 9422, 333-WICC. Yes, Bridgeport politics, Park City politics, it's like a box of chocolates. It's like, you know, when you're hungry and you go into the fridge and you go, it's got to be... And you're pushing that Tupperware out of the way, and you're pushing that half-full mason jar out of the way, and, ooh, that's got something funny growing on it. We'll push that out of the way. Ah, there's something right there. There's something I can take to L microwave and heat up again. Yes, always something juicy in Bridgeport or Park City politics. Several outlets, including the Connecticut Examiner and News 12, reporting that a court has ordered a redo of a Bridgeport primary, citing mistake in the count of votes, quote unquote. How about that? Do you know how screwed up an election has to be, or a primary has to be, or something on that level, local, state, federal? There's a reason it never happens. There's a reason judges don't like to do this. There's a reason a high bar is set for judges to get involved in the legal process when it comes to elections, because the notion is you don't redo something unless you really think it's blanked up. Judges, whether it's the Supreme Court, we saw this during the Trump, the election was stolen comedy there. The judges said, no, you got nothing here. But there is a point. I guess there's a point, and maybe it has to do with Bridgeport. I'm sorry, but come on, you're not thinking the same thing. Don't sit there and wag your finger at me over the radio wave saying, well, here you go again, making fun of Bridgeport. No, it's the news. It's reality. It's the wonderful world we live in. So a judge has ordered a redo, a Superior Court judge ordering a new Democratic primary for Bridgeport's 127th district. Now, this thing has been tossed around for what? Ever since primary day on September, whatever it was. I forgot. Ordering a new Democratic primary election for the 127th State House seat, ruling that there had been a mistake in the count of votes. Now, I've sat here, not just on this radio station, but in other places I've worked, other election cycles I've worked, and I've always said, you know, we landed men on the moon numerous times, starting in 1969, over about a 3-year period, back and forth, back and forth. No major problems. How can we not count votes in this country? Honestly, is it the people involved? Is it the party involved? Is it the city involved? I don't get that. The original result says here in the CT Examiner, check it out online, ctexaminer.com, the original results, according to state law, had required a recount after an initial tally showed that City Councilman Marcus Brown won the 127th by 5 votes, a margin of less than 0.5%, and or fewer than 20 votes. But 2 subsequent recounts, the first giving the race to the incumbent Jack Hennessy by 1 vote, and the second recount to Brown by 2 votes, were challenged in court by the candidates after local election officials lost and later found 9 absentee ballots. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And people have called up, well, they may have ended up in other sacks, whatever. That's fine. How does that happen? How does that happen? Who is running these elections? And I get it. I get it that it's only one seat out of a state that had a few hundred elections. I understand that. But my three favorite words, kids, in this thing, or things like this, perception is reality. I'm sorry. It is what it is. Because people see this and they say, well, if it's the 127th in Bridgeport, rightly or wrongly, I'm not saying they're right or wrong about this. But again, ask anybody who's in entertainment, who's in sports, who's in politics. You know, a perception is reality. What a person perceives is their reality. If you watch nothing but Fox News, you'll perceive the world one way. If you watch nothing but MSNBC, you'll perceive the world another way. If you read nothing than more than the New York Post, you'll perceive the world one way. If you read nothing more than the New York Times, you'll perceive the world another way. Perception is reality. After the second recount, Judge Barry Stevens declaring Councilman Brown, Marcus Brown, the winner. But a week later, Hennessy went back to court one last time, Hennessy claiming that absentee ballots were not properly applied for by voters or verified by election officials. On Tuesday, the judge agreed and called for a new election. The court clerk must certify the decision with the Secretary of State before an election date is set. So we will have Councilman Marcus Brown here on the program today. I will effort a call to get Jack Hennessy on the program, hopefully by the end of the week. But man, oh, man. So, again, this isn't that widespread. It's a primary. But let's face it, the Democratic primary in cities like Bridgeport, Hartford, New Haven, Danbury, Waterbury, that's generally the general election. And this is only in the 127th, all right? This is only in the 127th State House District, but there you go, State House District for Bridgeport. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Man, oh, man. So we'll have Marcus Brown on the show today at 4. Wasn't happy when I talked to him later, right? Now, hopefully, when this whole thing shakes out, hopefully, this will get people to the polls in the 127th. So let's not have this happen again. Like I say, the only time these things happen when you get these 1, 2, 3, you know, 5 vote scenarios here is because essentially not enough people vote. Oh my God, that was 2 votes. It was 1 vote. Well, if 20 more people had come out to vote, or 10, or 25, or 30, you think it would have ended this way? I don't think so. So, man, little extra innings in this thing. I'm telling you, Bridgeport politics, you got to love it. You have to love it because, again, like Forrest Gump said, it is a box of chocolates. You never know what's there, like it hasn't happened before. Oh, man. Absentee ballots, got to love it. You have to love absentee ballots. It's like a big fortune cookie. Okay, 16 past, traffic and weather together on the 6s. Phone lines are open. What are your thoughts on this, especially if you live in the 127th in Bridgeport, if you voted for Jack Hennessy, if you voted for Marcus Brown? It's probably in the, well, look, nobody likes to order a new election, but in the end, is this the fairest thing? I don't know. You tell me. Big story today, one of the big stories, a judge has finally said, okay, do it over. You know, we often don't see the judicial branch in this country on any level get involved in elections. Even if there's some funny business, they generally, judges, magistrates. They don't like to put their toe in the water of that for fear of disturbing the will of the people. But yet it is happening here. A judge saying there must now be a do-over primary, the Democratic primary, which is the de facto election for the 127th, that this time around pitted a longtime incumbent Democrat Jack Hennessy, Bridgeport State legislator, against Councilman Marcus Brown, who joins us right now. We'll get Marcus's reaction to that. Hey, Marcus. Hi, it's Paul again. How are you, sir?
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Not too bad. Not too bad. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, like I just said, I'm sure you've thought about this, too. You know, judges don't like to get involved in this sort of stuff. I think, Marcus, for good reason. But, you know, this kind of, and maybe it was just my guessing here, Marcus, this didn't surprise me. Are you surprised by this? Angered? Sad? What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, obviously I'm disappointed by the outcome that this judge has decided, with disenfranchising thousands of Bridgeport voters that made their voices heard on Election Day on August 9th. And throughout this trial, this judge has reversed his opinion on multiple items that we've been contesting. So, no, we're not surprised that this happened, but we do see a remedy on our side that we're definitely going to exercise.
What remedy would that be?
Well, we're taking this appeal to the Supreme Court in Connecticut.
Okay, so you've decided to take this appeal now to the Connecticut State Supreme Court, Marcus. On what grounds here? What is your campaign's argument?
So from the very beginning, what we've asked this court to do was to count all the votes. We asked them to reach out to the city of Bridgeport and demand that they count every single vote in this election, because that did not happen during the mandatory recount. And now what we had said in the beginning was that the judge didn't have jurisdiction to hear a trial by the other side, because state law requires you to file a complaint within 14 days of the primary, which they did not. The judge took it upon himself to disregard the state statute and hear the trial anyway, despite not having the authority to do so. So we are taking that claim to the Supreme Court as whether or not he had jurisdiction to even hear this trial.
You know, Marcus, I said early in the show, before we talked here a few hours ago, and I was going over the particulars of this with my listeners, unfortunately, no matter what side of you are, that somebody is on these types of stories, Marcus, you know, perception is reality, and it just disheartens me. And I do not live in Bridgeport, I'll tell you that right up front, but it disheartens me, whether it's Bridgeport, New Haven, Hartford, any municipality, and I would think it disheartens you when stuff like this, Marcus, on at least some level, continues to happen. I mean, you know as well as I do, there are probably people listening to us or are going to read this story or watch TV coverage of it. They're going to say, oh, Bridgeport, absentee ballots, weird recount. They're going to roll their eyes and laugh. That's what I think is, in my opinion anyway, one of the most deleterious things that's going to come out of this and of the other times it happens.
Absolutely, and I would understand anyone who would think that, because I'm relatively new into politics, and I was told when I decided to run in this campaign that absentee ballots was going to play a huge factor, which is why my campaign, we brought the message to the people. We made sure that people came out to vote and didn't rely on absentee ballots. Now, the other side took it upon themselves to double their numbers in absentee ballots, whereas that's why the margin was so close. At the polls, I won 2-1. The reason we have a close margin was because of the amount of absentee ballots the other side did. And that is why we are where we are today.
What does that tell you, Marcus, or what do you think? You know, being, I know you want to be careful and not accusing anybody of anything in particular, but that's what, you know, I constantly hear from people, and you just said it. It happened to Marilyn Moore last time. You win at the polls, but then there's a little wink, wink about the absentees.
Yeah, it tells me that something's going on that needs a much closer look. You know, we both, my team did reach out to senior citizens who couldn't make it to the polls. And I would say on average, we did about 200 absentee ballots. And unfortunately, some people don't send them back. On our end, at least, we only had about a 30 to 40% return rate, whereas the other side had about a 75 to 80% return rate. And they're not talking to people who are just more proactive at sending things back. Something happened where they were able to get a much higher return rate on those ballots than we were able to do. So that tells me something funny always goes on in these types of elections, which is why we try to drum up the numbers at the polls to kind of offset anything, you know, that could happen with those absentee ballots.
So heading in now, what's the time frame here? By the way, the guest is Bridgeport City Councilman Marcus Brown. What's the time frame here? Because we are about a month away from the general election. The judge says we'll do a do-over on the primary, but you say now you're appealing this to the state Supreme Court. Are we in a really compressed time frame here or not?
Yeah, we're definitely in a compressed time frame. We have a message that we have to deliver to every single voter in the district. We're talking thousands of people that we need to reach within a couple of weeks. Now, elections are a snapshot in time, and we can't duplicate what happened on August 9th. We can't churn out those folks just the same way we did then. And so being not the incumbent, I'm at a disadvantage here because the name recognition that he's had by serving in office for 20 years, I don't have that same level. And so we have to work harder this time around because of the short time schedule we have, and then rush again to a November election within a couple more weeks.
Finally, Marcus, what do you think this generally says about maybe not just here in Bridgeport, but the whole absentee ballot process? Because let's face it, you and I know that there are a lot of people where, as the legislature would look, Marcus, to possibly loosen absentees or go to no excuse absentees or mail-in voting. You know, it's things like this, no matter how this washes out between you and, you know, Representative Hennessy, that kind of makes people roll their eyes and say, yeah, this is the last thing we need. That's, I think, one of the unfortunate things that ends up coming out of this.
Yeah, and I would say to that is we definitely need to look at the process in which absentee ballot applications are done, the ballots themselves are cast. The penalties for getting involved in someone's votes also need to be looked at. And what I would say is I've been the victim of an abuse of absentee ballots here in Bridgeport, and I would be someone who would look into the legislation around them. Now, my opponent has benefited from it, so I think if we send him back to Hartford, there's no chance that he's going to look into reforming the system, the very system that has benefited him so much. And so I would say I'm the best one suited to look at it because I've been closely affected by the abuse of absentee ballots.
All right, City Councilman Marcus Brown. Marcus, thank you. We appreciate it. We'll talk down the road. Take care.
Thank you, Paul, for having me.
I appreciate it there, and we will effort in the next few days to get Jack Hennessy on the program here to talk about or to get his views. We'll set that up with him to get his views as to what he thinks as we get some breaking news here on WICC that there will not be at least definitely another primary. There may be, but the councilman's state rep campaign is now taking this to the high court, not in Washington, here in Connecticut, the Connecticut State Supreme Court, on allegations that the previous process in this was not followed according to state of Connecticut law. And now that we are about a month away from Election Day for state races and federal level races, I'm going to get a little bit more into candidate interviews here because, you know, we're well past the Labor Day mark and getting into 4 weeks or so out of the election. So I feel it's time to have people really concentrate and listen to, at least on this show, what the candidates are saying. Our next guest here, this gentleman, a one-time Connecticut state legislator, is running now as a Republican for the 5th district seat in Congress against multi-term incumbent Johanna Hayes. We had him on the show numerous times when he was a legislator. We welcome back. It's been a while. George Logan is with us. George, it's Paul here, my friend. How are you?
Oh, doing great, Paul. Good to be on again and say hi to you and all your listeners out there.
Well, George, you're shaking things up a little, George, because, wow, they're sending the vice president in here tomorrow to have a discussion, a roundtable, George,
on abortion. I see that some Republican money, a few $100,000, is coming into the race. So you, sir, I guess, I've been watching these things for about 40 years. You may have some people a little worried. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, we've got a great movement here, right? The momentum is going our way. You know, my campaign, we have the better message than Congresswoman Hayes's camp. You know, more of their failed, policies, false promises. It's just led to pain for families. It's made it difficult for veterans and our seniors here in the district, and folks are just tired of the status quo. And we are providing an alternative to what we have now under Congresswoman Hayes's leadership in Washington.
George, they have come out, they meaning mostly PAC money. I don't know if this is coming directly from the Congresswoman's campaign, but they are hammering you with particularly on the abortion issue. I know that your campaign, I did get a copy of the cease and desist letter that you fired out, or your legal representatives did, to the TV stations here. I guess you folks have a problem with some things that are said in some campaign ads coming from a Democratic PAC.
Absolutely. Look, it's our approach is that we are going after Congresswoman Hayes' voting record, right? The fact that she's voted 100% in line with Nancy Pelosi, right? The fact that, in using her own words to describe the disaster that she has helped to create with the Biden-Harris administration. Now, what the Democrat leadership has chosen to do, particularly the DCCC, they have chosen to come out with blatantly false attack ads against me, and with no consideration of what my actual position, on a particular issue is. And that is where we have a problem. When it comes to the issue, of women's reproductive rights and my record, which I have steadfastly supported a woman's right to choose. I have a track record of that in the state legislature as a state senator. And so for them to come out with these blatantly false attack ads, trying to, again, fool the people with blatant lies, it's a problem. It's something that, my supporters don't want to stand by idly for, and I certainly don't either. Because, look, I want to be a voice for the people, moderate voters, conservative voters in the 5th Congressional District. I want to focus on the issues that matter currently the most, that are most impactful: inflation, high energy costs, crime, the fentanyl issue. Those are the areas that I'm focused on. And when you come at me with false attack ads indicating that I'm going to support, for example, a national ban on abortion, I've never said any such thing, that draws the line. And that's where, we come out fighting, and we do that in terms of our messaging. We do that, if we have to, by legal routes as well.
George Logan is the guest, former Republican state senator, now running for Congress in the 5th Congressional District against multi-term incumbent Johanna Hayes. George, I read a ton of stuff every day, as you can imagine, on the left and right. And I'm suddenly, George, starting to see, you mentioned crime, and I'm starting to see kind of a pushback from Democrats here and a lot of pundits, if not the actual candidates, George, saying, well, when Republicans run on crime, that's kind of a racist dog whistle. What do you think about that?
Utter hogwash, utterly ridiculous. We've got folks in our most vulnerable communities here in the 5th Congressional District, in Waterbury, in Danbury, in Meriden, all in New Britain, all suffering from the effects of the anti-police policies from the legislature here in Hartford and Connecticut, and also in Washington. As a result, we've got less police officers patrolling. We have more violent crimes, more carjackings, more robberies in broad daylight. This is affecting all of our communities. So to call it anything other than what it is, I just think it's just wrong. And it's a lack of respect for the people who are trying to live their life every day and raise their families and work and pay their bills and just want to do it in a safe environment. That is what I stand for. That is what I'm hearing in the district. And that's what I'm going to support, thinking positively, once I win this seat and I'm the congressman representing the 5th Congressional District.
George Logan is the guest. George, I guess a lot of the pundits in D.C., the people and locally, the kind of scoreboard this stuff
Every day you see, hey, the Connecticut Fifth. I even have out-of-town pundits from D.C. and across the country emailing me saying, hey, what's up with the Fifth? Wow, that guy Logan, he's actually, you know, statistically tied with, you know, with Johanna Hayes. They ask me what's up. I'll ask you, George, what's up? Why is this such a nip-and-tuck race, George Logan, at least at this point?
Well, I mean, historically speaking, the 5th Congressional District has always been one of the most competitive congressional districts in the state. And this go-around, again, folks are tired of the status quo. They have just had enough of Congresswoman Hayes supporting the Democrat leadership in Washington. And right now, regardless of how Congresswoman Hayes and Vice President Harris and President Biden want to try to deflect from what the real major issues here in Connecticut, in the 5th Congressional District, what the real issues of concern are, the people of the district are not, you know, buying their deceit. They're lying to the voters. Inflation, 40-year high, right? Out of control spending, you know, supported by Congresswoman Hayes, you know, whether we're talking about the failed Build Back Better plan, the Inflation Reduction Act, the student loan debt bailout, all of that has led to higher inflation. All of that has led to higher costs and making it more expensive for people to live and have to make important decisions about putting food on their tables or getting putting gas in their car to get to getting to work or to pay for medication. It's an issue. It's a problem. You know, I look at the border crisis, right? Congresswoman Hayes, supposed to be representing our district. Fentanyl, the opioid epidemic, is a major problem. It's only gotten worse under her leadership, and she has ne'er said a word, you know, about it, right? The border crisis. The borders are not secure. We've got Vice President Harris coming tomorrow. She stated, in her opinion, the southern borders are secured when everyone knows that they're not. And as a result, the families and the people and the children of the 5th Congressional District are suffering from it. You know, this fentanyl issue is just something that, you know, we have never seen before at these mm-hmm. types of levels. Just recently, fentanyl came in disguised as candy for children. This is the level that we're dealing with. And we've got this fentanyl coming through from China into Mexico, through the southern border into the United States of America. We need to secure our borders. That's what I'm going to fight for down in Washington.
George Logan, thank you. And we'll definitely talk to you, George, at least one more time as we get toward Election Day. George, thanks. Good luck. And we shall be in touch. Thank you, sir.
Much appreciated. Thanks, Paul. Take care now.
All right, George Logan there, and that's his side, and we will either on this program or I think Joe Aguirre has been in touch with the Johanna Hayes people, so obviously it's election time, and we'll offer the good congresswoman time to come on and rebut some of that and talk about what she is thinking here. So George Logan, area resident, of course, and engineer by trade at a major utility, pretty good guitar player, too, and running for Congress in the 5th Congressional District in a race that is really, at least at this point, I mean, who knows how this is going to shake out, but really at this point, the only kind of entertaining one in the state, right?